This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer. So the series that we are in at the minute is called Living in God's Kingdom. And we've been focusing our minds in particular on John's Gospel. In the last couple of weeks, we've been at the end of John's Gospel, picking up after Jesus rose from the dead and hearing again those stories of those individuals who met Jesus when he rose from the dead. But this morning, we're actually going to go the opposite direction. We're going to go to the very start of John's Gospel, into John chapter 1. And to a story there and an incident there that we can actually learn a lot from, how we can live in this kingdom of God, even as we are on earth. How do we at the same time live in God's kingdom? And how do we get our heads around that and understand that and put that into action? So let's turn to John chapter 1. You might have a Bible at hand nearby in your seat. John chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 43 to verse 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so we end there at verse 51. So keeping our minds in that story, in that moment with Jesus and Philip and Nathanael, and we're assuming some of the other disciples were hanging around the edges. When Philip describes Jesus to Nathanael, he provides some titles that Nathanael has an idea of who this Jesus is. He says, "Jesus of Nazareth." He says that he is son of Joseph. And he also says he's the one whom Moses talked about and who the prophets talked about. So who did Moses and the prophets talk about? Well, they talked about a prophet, a great prophet who would come from God and reveal God to them. So in introducing this Jesus, Philip is saying he's from Nazareth, he's related to Joseph, and he's a prophet. And what we're told is that basically Nathanael wasn't very impressed. His response was, "So what? Big deal." He wasn't going to give any honor or respect to this person who came from Nazareth, which was a neighboring town to Cana, which was where Nathanael himself was from. And Cana was a much better town than Nazareth. So no man from Cana was going to give any honor or respect to any man coming from Nazareth, no matter who his father was or what the prophets maybe said about him. Philip didn't introduce Jesus, though, with these illustrious titles that we are now to introduce King Charles III with. His Majesty, Most High, Most Mighty, and Most Excellent Monarch, Sovereign Lord, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, Sovereign of the Most Noble Order of the Garter, etc., etc. I mean, even the first couple alone are impressive. And you would be impressed if that you were told that, come and see this person. Let me introduce you to His Majesty, Most High, Most Mighty, Most Excellent Monarch. But Nathanael, whenever he was told who Jesus was, he wasn't impressed. However, when Nathanael went to see Jesus, he discovered Jesus has already seen him and already knows him. In particular, he knows about one moment. Whatever happened, we don't know, but it must have been significant for Nathanael underneath that fig tree. Because Jesus uses this code to say, I know what you know. I know who you are. I know how you're feeling. I know what's going on because I saw you under the fig tree. And everybody else is going, what's the big deal of the fig tree? You know, plenty of people sit underneath a fig tree. That's where you get shade in the heat of the Middle Eastern day. But something happened there for Nathanael. And Jesus was telling him, I saw you and I know. Nathanael, for whatever reason, whatever went on underneath that fig tree, was now impressed. And he now himself gives Jesus two titles that Philip didn't even mention. And the first one is Son of God. Now, for you and I in 2023, you come and go to church, you're very familiar with this term, Son of God. And maybe in your mind, ideas or understanding is coming to the fore. But I want to take you back to John chapter 1, to the first century, and what Nathanael is saying here, but also understanding. Because we can't assume that Nathanael is using this title to say that Jesus is divine. He's the actual Son of God Most High. We can't assume that. It's not likely he means that Jesus is part of the Godhead, belongs to the Trinity. I doubt Nathanael had that in mind. What he's probably thinking about was in the Old Testament, it refers to the nation of Israel as God's son. So they were a chosen, a special people because they were God's children. And so it's more likely Nathanael is saying that Jesus is like the true Israel. He's God's son. He's the Son of God. He's a true child of God. There's something special about him. He's chosen. And then when Nathanael then calls Jesus King of Israel, he's proclaiming Jesus as the promised king who would follow David and establish a throne that would be everlasting. Nathanael, like his fellow disciples, perhaps expected that for this kingdom to be established, there would need to be fighting, there need to be rebellion against the Roman Empire, an uprising that would lead to a great and lasting victory where Jesus then would be enthroned as King of Israel. But from what Nathanael says, Son of God, King of Israel, Jesus is more than Nathanael professed or had in mind. Whatever was so amazing about Jesus' knowledge of Nathanael under the fig tree, whatever the significance of that was, as amazing as it was for Nathanael, Jesus promised Nathanael that with me, you're going to see greater things. With me, things are going to be better than what they are now, as good as they are now. See, Jesus seeing Nathanael under the fig tree was a sign of something greater. And Jesus mentions Jacob's dream. It's there in verse 51. It says, and then Jesus added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." These are the very words taken from Genesis 28. Now, in Genesis 28, there's this really strange dream that Jacob has with a ladder connecting heaven and earth and these angels going up and coming down. And the point of this dream that Jacob had was that God was with him in that place because he felt abandoned. He felt alone. He felt rejected. And here was God coming to him and saying, "No, I am with you even in this God-forsaken place. I, God, am here." And for Jacob then, that was so powerful that he named that place Bethel, which means house of God or place of God. And we're told that he put stones there. So every time he would pass that place, he would look up and see the stones and remember, yeah, that was the moment that I had an encounter with God. To remind him that even if he didn't feel the presence of God, God was with him. Nathanael here now, whenever Jesus makes reference to this story, Nathanael was reassured by Jesus that God was with him. God was with you even under that fig tree. He knew what was going on. Yet Jesus was also saying to Nathanael that he would one day know God's presence in an even more amazing and greater way. Jesus' remark about the fig tree was just a sign for Nathanael of something greater. It wasn't the greatest thing he would ever experience in his life. It was just a taster of something greater. And yesterday, when we watched the coronation of King Charles, there were a multitude of signs to something greater. So much of the coronation of Charles III was telling us there is a greater king. There is a higher power. There is a more magnificent glory than that which you see now in Westminster Abbey. And Charles made his promise to God and to us. His words were to keep God's law and the true profession of the gospel. And then he was presented with all this royal regalia. And one by one, these items came to him. First of all, he was given the orb, which was a golden sphere representing the world. And it's decorated with 365 jewels and pearls with a cross on top. And then he's given the scepter, studded with diamonds and sapphires with a cross on top. And then placed on his head was the crown with 444 precious jewels and a cross on top. Throughout the coronation, there was a sign to something greater. Even when the crown was placed upon King Charles' head, there was a visual reminder in the symbol of the cross to a greater king. Now, I love the commentary of the BBC, and Kirsty does a fantastic job, and so does Hugh. But I was longing for somebody to tell our nation about the symbolism and the signs that were here that mean so much to the church and are so central to what we believe as Christians. And there was an absence of that commentary yesterday. And yet there were so many signs pointing to Jesus. And this is the truth that John weaves throughout his gospel. Whether you're in John chapter 1 or you go to the end, John chapter 21. Throughout his gospel, it tells us that Jesus is the ultimate great king of heaven and earth. The kingship is declared repeatedly in John's gospel, beginning here in John chapter 1 with Nathanael, who says, Jesus, you are the King of Israel. Although his idea of kingship needed expanding and developing and increasing, we all start off in our faith with less than who Jesus really is. And that's where Nathanael was starting. But I don't know if you were here last Sunday, and if you remember the passage that we read from John chapter 21, Nathanael was there in that passage. He was described as Nathanael from Cana. And it described him there experiencing something greater than he could have ever imagined whenever he met Jesus face to face. You see, the kingship of Jesus is declared repeatedly in John's gospel. And here it is declared by Nathanael. But it goes throughout the whole of John's gospel. It's there at Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. What do the crowds say? Blessed is he, King of Israel. And they too probably had an earthly king in mind. And Pilate asked Jesus whether he's king of the Jews. And Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. And the soldiers mocked Jesus as king. And Pilate repeatedly refers to Jesus as the King of the Jews, to the Jews who were annoyed by it. And just to annoy them a little bit more, Pilate says he's going to get this sign right above the cross that says, King of the Jews. And then Jesus' coronation. It didn't begin with a stunning, beautiful parade through London like yesterday for King Charles. It was ugly. From the moment it began, it was ugly. He carried his own cross, not to a grand cathedral, but outside the city wall to the place of the skull. He was stripped of his modest garments and mocked and humiliated by those who came to see him. And there was no big choir singing beautiful psalms to music commissioned by Sir So-and-so. Instead, he cried out, Psalm 21, my God, why have you forsaken me? His hands held not an orb, but nails. His scepter was a lance pierced into his side. His crown was of thorns, and his mother bowed in the pain of what she saw. The crowd watching cried, save yourself, not save the king. And they carried him away, not to a banquet with dignitaries, but to an empty tomb, and rolled stone over it and placed guards in front of it. But when the women came to anoint Jesus' body with oil a couple of days later, he was not there. Because you see, this king is a king like no other. He will be crowned by one alone, and that was by his father. Jesus is the king beyond Nathanael's imagination and ours, the king of heaven and earth, which is what Jesus was alluding to whenever he reminded Nathanael of Jacob's dream, when somehow heaven and earth would be connected and angels would go up and come down. But Jesus would fulfill this vision. When angels did come down on earth, and the women thought that, you know, who is this in a white robe? And they were absolutely petrified, because you don't expect to see angels. But there they were. And Nathanael was given a glimpse of this when we read at the end of John's gospel. On at least three occasions, he met the risen Lord Jesus. He saw that God's kingdom does come, and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the kingdom comes through the one who came to serve. We're going to sing the servant king. And that is at the heart of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. It means a kingdom of service, which includes kindness, acts of mercy, generosity, at times sacrifice, forgiveness, healing, peace-loving, truth-telling. It's very easy for me to stand at the front and say that. Indeed, I could get you to repeat all those words after me. But it's even harder to live that out. Try living out kindness when you know you will not get it back. Try doing an act of mercy when you know you will get no thanks. Try being generous when you know you won't have that generosity returned to you. Try making a sacrifice knowing all that you're going to lose and all that that person's going to gain because of you. Try forgiving someone when either they don't want your forgiveness or they don't forgive you. Try healing whenever it's hard and it's not easy and words have been said that are hard to forget. Things have been done that you will remember. Try peace-loving, try truth-telling. All these things are hard, but they are at the heart of God's kingdom. And if you want to see them done, read the Gospels, because Jesus did it. But that's why he's given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, because we can't do these things ourselves. I can't do these things myself. I find these things incredibly hard at times. But I can do them with God's help. I can do them whenever I welcome Jesus' Holy Spirit into my life. But otherwise, a lot of this stuff, see, living in God's kingdom, it's impossible. Or it's just really hard work and you end up burning out. But whenever you trust in Jesus, following his lead, receiving his Holy Spirit in you for all that you need, it is possible. The coronation of King Charles III began yesterday when Charles was welcomed by a young boy in the name of the King of Kings. I loved that. I welcome you in the name of the King of Kings, to which Charles replied, "In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve." And when the crown of St. Edward was placed upon Charles' head, it was with the words, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bless this crown and sanctify your servant, Charles." Right at the heart of the coronation is the invitation to come under the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God that was established by one alone, and that was the servant king. And we follow his lead. The one who came to serve has served you and now invites you, the church, to serve others as he has done. And everyone, including kings and rulers, can offer this invitation extended to Nathaniel. Come and see. So here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Perhaps whenever you're talking over the coming weeks about the coronation, perhaps you might make reference to or comment on or mention the very fact that at the heart of the coronation was reminding us of one who came as a king, but not as we expected, but ultimately to serve, and what that means. But this very one who came to serve was also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father God, in your great love, you've sent us Jesus. And Jesus, knowing who we are and what we're like, you've sent us the Holy Spirit to help us to be like you, to help us live in this great kingdom of God the way you lived, serving others. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and be with each one of us? Work in each one of our lives, knowing what needs to be done for us to become more like Jesus Christ. You know what areas of our lives need to be shaped and formed into the likeness of Jesus. You know where we struggle to serve others, where it's hard, where we don't know how to do it, where to begin. And yet you call us to serve. You called King Charles III to serve, but you call each one of us. In the areas in which we have influence, in our relationships, in our lives, to serve. And so, Holy Spirit, do a work in each of us to enable us to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord God, you do ride upon the clouds, and earth shakes before you. You are the Almighty God seated on your throne. In majesty and glory, you rule and you reign over all the earth. And yet, God, you protect the widow. And yet, you are father to the orphan. And yet, you shelter the homeless. And yet, you heal the brokenhearted and you set the captive free. We are told that you know the number of hairs on our head. You know our words before we even think them. God, you are almighty, and yet at the same time, your attention to us is filled with such kindness and goodness and love. And we thank you, God, that we see that so clearly in Jesus, who you sent to die for us and to rise again for us, so that we might have salvation, we might have hope, we might have joy everlasting with you, God. And so we bring all our worship to you this morning. To you, our God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. We want to crown you as our King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we give thanks that you are our God, and we thank you that you love each of us, and we are valued by you, whether we are rich, famous, influential, or just ordinary people. St. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2, urges, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for all in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. At this weekend of coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla, we ask for your blessing upon our King. Anoint him with the gift of your Holy Spirit as he seeks to fulfill his calling amongst us. Strengthen him with wisdom and justice to serve the people of this land to the honour and glory of your name. We ask you to bless Camilla, our Queen, Prince William, the Princess of Wales, and all generations of the royal family. Grant them peace and joy on this coronation. King Charles is the King of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. You, Father, our King of Kings, yet you came down to us to serve and not to be served. King Charles, at his graduation yesterday, affirmed before you that he will serve and not be served. We pray that your will and purpose will be seen in the days and years ahead for the royal family. In our busy lives, help us to take time to talk with you. In our church family life, may we take time to listen to our friends and neighbours and to be there for them. Heavenly Father, you bring us together in our households, our families, and our communities. Teach us to love one another as Jesus Christ loves us. Father, our world needs you more than ever. Wars, famines, needless violence among ordinary people. 80 people shot yesterday evening in Texas. Climate change, global warming, starvation in large parts of the world. Many countries have no medical supplies or insufficient health care. Lord, we ask for your intercession to end this. Please help us to support relief agencies as they strive to provide for these poor nations. Father, we thank you for all your loving kindness to us, and we would ask that these our prayers are made in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.